Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Christian author and speaker, Troy Black. We're praying that, as you listen, God will reveal His love, grace, and truth to you in a deeper way. After listening, don't forget to connect with Troy on YouTube and Facebook. May this message from Troy inspire you in your walk with Christ.
Hey everyone, this is Troy Black. So today I want to give you the three faith risks that God will ask you to take. So before I get started, I want to quickly mention that yes, I realize I look a little hairy today. I use an electric razor to shave and it actually broke this week. And so I ordered a piece to try to fix it. And so that's why I kind of look like a mountain man right now a little bit. Speaking of fixing things, I actually want to start off with a story about something in my house that I recently fixed. So me and my wife, we bought a new house, our first house that we've ever owned last year, about a year and a half ago. And there's a few things in the house that we've been trying to update a little bit. We haven't made any major updates or anything like that, and a few things we've been trying to fix. But one thing you should know about me is I'm not a very handy person. At least I haven't been in the past. So I'm trying to get better at that. My wife tells me to, you know, to like speak in faith and not, you know, not call myself a not handy person. And so I'm trying to get better at that. But the two things that I updated recently, one is my dad actually came over and he helped me update the fan in our living room on the ceiling. And then I tried on my own with a lot of prayer and help from my wife. And I did call my dad one time and during the process. I tried to replace the dining room ceiling light fixture. And so we picked out this new light fixture, we ordered it, it came in. And then one thing I made sure to do before I started was shut the power off. I'm a little, I get a little nervous when it comes to electricity, anything involving electricity. And so I was already pretty nervous when I got started. So instead of just shutting the power off to that room, I shut the power off to the whole house. It was a little hot at the time too, because it wasn't very cold that day. And so I'm standing on this chair and I'm trying to fix this or replace this light fixture. And it's hot in the house. I'm sweating because of the heat. I'm also sweating because I'm nervous. And then while I'm trying to concentrate on you know, putting these wires together and stuff, suddenly I hear this little sound and I realize what it is my two older daughters, Mirabelle and Iona, and right now they're 5 and 4, they're standing outside of the dining room, and the back door is right is attached to our dining room. And so they're standing right outside the back door. They're looking through this big door window, and I can hear them whispering to each other while I'm touching these wires. And they're looking back and forth, and they're saying, "I think he's going to die. Yeah, he's going to die. I think he's going to die." And suddenly it dawns on me what they're saying, and I just get these like waves of sweat start pouring down, and I'm like, "I'm not going to die. I'm going to be fine." Anyways, and so the reason I'm telling that story is because I want to make a statement today. And the statement is that there's no reward without a risk. And so, you know, the same way I'm standing on that chair and I'm, in a sense, risking my life to fix this light fixture, I wasn't really risking it. I was doing it very safely. I'm just not, you know, I'm not used to the idea of messing with electrical wires. And so the same way that, in a sense, you can risk, you know, something physically for a physical reward in life, you can take risks, and God actually expects us to take risks in our walk with Him. And those are going to be risks of faith. So the Bible actually tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. If we rephrase that, you could say essentially that faith pleases God. But the question I want to ask is why? You know, I think that's a question that's raised a lot in our minds that maybe isn't answered that often. So I want to actually give you two reasons that faith pleases God. And then I'm going to get to the three risks of faith right after that. So the first reason that faith pleases God is that when we're not willing to walk in faith, we're actually calling God a liar. So I'm going to read a verse real fast. It's 1 John 5:10, and it says, "The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son." this verse is specifically talking about the gospel, believing in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but I believe that it can also be applied more generally to our walk with God. See, God, one of the most important things that He desires from us is belief. It's to simply believe that He is telling the truth. And when we're not willing to do that, we might not be calling Him a liar outwardly, you know, with our words, but we've decided that He's a liar in our hearts. God wants His children to be willing to take risks of faith because that shows that we have a sure trust in our hearts that God is telling the truth. The second reason that faith pleases God is that faith actually tests the priority of our hearts. So I want to read you another verse. It's Psalms 26, 2 through 3. It says, "Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth." So the psalmist here, the writer, is calling out to God and saying, "God, please test my heart." He wants his heart to be right before God. He's saying, "God, examine my heart." And then I'm going to connect this verse to Romans 1, 17, which says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." So whether we are acting like the psalmist or not, you know, whether we're actually asking God to examine our hearts or not, God is always, He's always examining our hearts. He always knows what's in our hearts. And one of the ways that he examines our hearts is by giving us risks of faith to take, you know, and then seeing how we react, seeing whether or not we choose to believe His word, because the action in response to God's word, whether it's a big, you know, leap of faith or a small one, that's not what God is concerned with. God is concerned with obedience. And the reason He's concerned with obedience is because He's concerned with our hearts. He wants to see if the willingness is there. You know, there's some leaps of faith or risks of faith that God is going to ask some believers to take. Like, God might ask some believers to move to another country and become a missionary, but He's not going to ask every believer to do that. However, even if He doesn't ask you to take a specific faith step, you know, that He's asked someone else to take, He does want to see if we have the willingness to do it, if we have the willingness to do whatever He's asking us to do. And the amazing thing about this is when we prioritize God in our hearts above everything else in life, when we have this willingness to give up anything that God would ask us to give up for His sake, you know, in order to find Him, the truth is we do find Him. He reveals Himself to us in a greater way than ever before. And that's so amazing because God knows, you know, a lot of times we think God is being cruel when He asks us to give something up for His sake. But He's not being cruel, and the reason is He knows what's actually best for us, and God knows that the best place we could be, the best place we could possibly be is in His presence. He knows that that's the very best thing that we could receive. So jumping right into my three main points, here are the three faith risks that God will ask you to take. So the first one, number one, is that God will ask you to risk your time. I personally believe that our time is one of the most underrated resources that we possess as human beings. I've heard my pastor, Pastor Tim Ingram, say it like this, that when we're young, we trade our time for something like money, right? But then once we get old, we have to trade our money to try to get some of that time back, you know, to try to get our health back. And I've heard my pastor say that a few times, and I think he's right. The point that he's trying to make is that, you know, nobody gets to the end of their life and says, on their deathbed, "Oh man, I wish I had more toys, you know, or I wish I had more money, or I wish I had had more stuff while I was alive." No, people get to the end of their lives and they say, "I wish I had more time, you know, to do the things that really mattered." And for me, when I'm sitting in a church service, maybe listening to my pastor, or maybe, you know, listening to a sermon online or whatever it may be, or when I'm in a worship service, it's very easy for me to say in my heart, to say, "God, you can have my time. You know, whatever time you want me to give up for you, I'm going to do it." But I've found it's a whole lot harder for me to actually practically give that time up on a day-to-day basis. But the truth is, when God asks us to risk our time, it's not a one-time event that He's looking for. It's a decision He wants us to make every single day. And one question might be, okay, how does God want us to risk our time? You know, what does that actually look like? And here's my simple answer. God wants us to risk our time by being willing to invest it in seeking after Him. one of my favorite verses is Hebrews 11:6, and it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." Giving God your time is a faith step, because the only thing we have to go on is a promise. You know, God has promised that when we seek him with our whole hearts, we'll find him. He's promised that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. He doesn't tell us exactly what that reward's going to look like, but we know that he's a good father and we know it's going to be worth it. But it takes belief to step out in faith and to actually begin to say, you know what? This time I could be using it for this, or I could be using it for that, but I'm going to take some of this time and I'm going to give it to my Savior. I'm going to give it to my Creator, because I believe he's telling the truth. When I first got saved, the day that I knew that I was saved for certain, it was the first day that I heard from the Holy Spirit personally in my heart. And I'm not going to tell you that whole story or anything. If you want to hear the whole story, go watch another video of mine. It's called "Do Christians Just Have to Have Faith?" But in short, the story basically is that I begin to seek God every single day, reading verses like Hebrews 11:6, and I begin to believe in my heart. You know, when I started seeking him, I wasn't even sure if he was really there, you know? And then the more I read his word and the more I begin to believe that God was going to reward that time, you know, that God was going to show up when I began to seek him with my whole heart, the clearer I could hear from him. And at the end of that road of seeking after God was God himself. And I can tell you, he's worth finding. So the second faith risk that God is going to ask you to take at some point is this: God will ask you to risk your dreams. So this might be a hard one to hear, and I understand that. Because I think there's this misconception in the Christian culture nowadays that says that it's always right to chase after your dreams. You know, because there's this assumption that if you have dreams, they're God-given. And I hear this all the time, people saying, you know, God hasn't come through for me because my dreams haven't been fulfilled yet. But here's the deal. I don't personally believe that that's what the Bible teaches. I don't believe that is exactly what Jesus teaches. And I'm going to get to that in a sec. But first, I want to tell you a funny story. So, you know, a lot of people have dreams for their life. And some of those dreams started at an early age. So maybe you had dreams when you were a kid that you still have now for your life, maybe for a career or something. Or maybe you had some crazy dreams when you were a kid that you let go of at some point. For some of us, that might be a good thing. You know, at one point I wanted to be a stuntman and jump out of buildings for a living. I'm so glad I'm not doing that now. But my wife, Leslie, actually, when she was a little girl, she would be waiting for her mom to finish getting ready, to come to the bathroom and finish getting her ready for bed. And she would be standing in front of the mirror and she would be performing this basically a nightly news show. So she would be up in front of the mirror pretending that she's this newscaster delivering the news, you know, and just going crazy and, you know, having a good time. And at the time, she didn't realize, she thought she was all alone. But years later, some of her sisters, her older sisters actually told her, they would stand at the door and peek through the crack and they would watch her and just laugh and laugh. Which I think is hilarious. And no, I don't think my wife wants to be a newscaster anymore. I think she gave up on that dream a long time ago. But you know, some of those dreams that we have hidden deep in our hearts, some of us are holding on to with everything we've got. And I want to give you a verse that shows Jesus's perspective on this. It's Matthew 16:25. It says, "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." See, I think a lot of Christians read this verse. You know, if you've been a believer for any time at all, you've probably heard this verse that whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. I think a lot of us assume that what Jesus is talking about is maybe our time, you know, maybe our energy, maybe a lot of different things. But I think we wrongly assume that he's not talking about our dreams, when I believe he is, because when he says life here, he's actually talking about, you know, every expectation that we have. He's talking about the whole of who we are. And here's the deal. I am not saying this to try to make you feel bad at all. The reason I'm saying this is because you need to understand that your dreams for your life will never compare and never live up to God's dreams for your life. God knows why he created you. He knows how he created you. He knows what he put inside of you. You know, the desires, the deep, good, godly desires he put in your heart, And the reason God asks us to risk even those desires, you know, even that, is because God wants to know again, are those things that he put inside of us, the things he's given us, is that more important to us than him? Jesus actually says in Matthew 16:26, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Another translation actually ends this verse by asking the question, is anything worth more than your soul? See, and I think that's a question we have to ask ourselves. If God, if Jesus gave everything at the cross in order to redeem us, to redeem our souls from the pit, are we willing to respond to his love and his grace by giving up our dreams for his sake? And I get it. Some of these verses can be hard to hear. But the truth is, if we never get this truth, if we never grab onto this and let it sink into our hearts, we're never going to find the better reward that Jesus has for us as well. Luke 18:28-30 says, "Peter said, 'Behold, we have left our own homes and followed you.' And he said to them," this is Jesus, "'Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times as much at this time and in the age to come, eternal life.'" Jesus is promising here that when we are willing to give up our lives for God's sake and for the sake of the gospel, and that includes our dreams, you know, anything that God would ask us to give up, that we are actually guaranteed a better reward. He says that what we receive in return will be so much better than what we were willing to give up. No, it's not always going to come the way that we think it should. You know, it's not always going to come at the time that we think it should, but it is going to be worth it. It is going to be better. See, when we try to hold on to those dreams, even the good God-given ones, with everything we have, we actually oftentimes end up losing the very things we're trying to hold on to. Here's another way of saying this. God-given dreams can only truly be fulfilled by God himself. This is Troy Black. I pray the Lord is speaking to you through this podcast. We'll get back to the message in a second, but I want to take a minute to tell you about how you can support this ministry. I'm able to create videos, books, podcasts, and other materials because of faithful supporters who value my content and who want to help me share the gospel with as many people as possible. All I ask is that you would pray about becoming a part of the work we're doing. Learn more by going to troyblackvideos.com. I hope you're blessed as you continue listening. So here is the third faith risk that God is going to ask you to take. And I know I said the last one was going to be hard to hear. This one might not be any better. It might be actually a little worse, but I believe it's worth hearing. So the third faith risk is that God will ask you to risk your money. So when I was a kid, I loved to go to arcades. I don't like arcades so much now. I think I kind of had my fill at one point, got over it, but I loved it as a kid. I would save up my money. I'd go to an arcade. I would spend all my money, you know, to buy these tokens, to play these games, and then to get these really bad, you know, tiny little breakable toys that weren't worth it at all. But the experience, I always loved the experience of it. And so one of the games that I would like to play, and you may have played this before, but I would get these tokens and you would put this token into this slot, and then there at the bottom of the machine through this glass window, you would see all these other tokens laying on this platform that was moving back and forth. And so when your token went down, you were hoping to push off some of the other tokens, you know, more than one hopefully, into this little spot where you could get the tokens out. And so the hope was, it was a gamble, but the hope was you would put your token in and get a bunch out. And they always made it look like there was a lot of tokens sitting right on the edge and that they were about to fall, but there was obviously a magnet holding them on. So they never seemed to fall when you thought they were going to. But I feel like that's how a lot of us see the kingdom of God, especially when it comes to our money. You know, the same way that, you know, I would play those games when I was a kid and try to get more tokens out, I was basically risking money in order to get more money. You know, and I feel like, you know, obviously we can do that as adults. We can do that in life. You can risk money in an investment, you know, or business in order to make more money. you know, or to have a greater return. But God's kingdom actually works a different way. And I think this is a misconception we have sometimes in the Christian culture about money, that when God asks us to risk our money, that he's promising, you know, a monetary reward, a greater monetary reward, and it's just not always true. The truth is that God asks us to risk our money so that we can get more of him, so that we can grow closer to him, so that we can be more involved in his kingdom. So you might be thinking, but is there a monetary reward as well? And I'll get to that in a second. But first, I want to answer this question. Why does God want us to risk our money? You know, what's the point of that? And the answer is the same answer I've given for the other two points as well. God wants us to risk our money, and he's going to ask us to risk our money as believers because he knows how easy it is for money to get a hold of our hearts. God wants to see, is money more important to us or is God more important to us? Here's an awesome verse. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, "Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy." So how much money is God going to ask me as a believer to risk? Here's the answer, and it's found in this verse, and I think it's easy to miss. There's a phrase in this verse that says, "Fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches." See, God wants us to take our hope off of wealth, and he wants us to put our hope on him. The amount of money that God is going to ask you to risk is the amount that it takes for you to get your hope off of money. It's the amount it's going to take for me to get my hope off of money. See, a lot of times there's actually this spiritual stronghold that money can have on us, and God wants to break that off completely. Money, it can be helpful. It can be useful. It's obviously necessary for life, but it can also hold us hostage if we're not careful. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." You know, Jesus said, "With the measure that you use, it will be measured to you." So yeah, if you're generous and you are faithful in giving your money, I believe you can expect a reward this side of heaven. But here's also what I believe is that it's not always going to look the way you think it's going to look. And sometimes that reward is not going to be a monetary reward, but it's actually going to be a spiritual reward. And those are actually the rewards that, you know, that the spiritual rewards actually in the end far outweigh, you know, any monetary reward we could receive. 1 Timothy 6:18 through 19 says, "Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed." Here's the main point I believe this verse is making. When we are willing to respond, when God asks us to take a risk of faith with our money, the rewards are worth it. No, they're not going to look exactly the way we want every time, but they're worth it. So to get a little personal about this, my wife and I have been married for almost 7 years now, and we have been faithfully giving to our local church the whole time that we've been married, and I have seen the reward of that. I can testify personally and say it is worth responding in faith with your money, not just materialistically or something like that, but in every area of life. You know, when God is asking you to take a risk of faith, it is so that you can grow deeper in relationship with him. It's so that you can learn to trust him more. And I can say that it is worth it. But I also want to give you a testimony from my life that's a little more specific than that. So a few years ago, I received a job offer. And for those of y'all that don't know, I work on this ministry part-time, but I also work part-time for the Urban Alternative, which is the national broadcast ministry of Dr. Tony Evans. I've been working for them for several years now. I love working with that ministry. They're awesome. And one thing that working part-time for his ministry allows me to be able to do is to continue this online ministry. But when I received this other job offer, I ran the numbers and everything and looked at it and realized if I accepted that job offer, I wasn't going to have time to keep doing this ministry. So I was going to basically pick one or the other. And the opportunity I had there was an opportunity to start making six figures, you know, a huge yearly income. And it was a good opportunity in a growing company, and some things that I'd be getting to do that I hadn't been able to do as much. And so the decision I made should be obvious because I'm still here making these videos. But the point that I'm making is I looked at that huge yearly income, and I basically had to make a decision. Do I go the route that's going to make me the most money, you know, or do I go the route that I believe God is asking me to go? Do I do what he's asking me to do? And maybe you're asking the question right now, well, was it worth it? And the answer that I can give is yes. And the reason that it was worth it is not because, you know, I'm able to make these videos, which I enjoy doing. It's not even because, you know, I have a little bit more time on my hands than I would have had. The reason that it was worth it is because I can look back over the last few years and I can see the lives that were changed. I can see the number of people that said, hey, I prayed with you to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I can see the number of people that said, I've finally gotten it. I've finally seen what it means for God to send his son and die for me. I finally understood how much God loves me. You know, and I finally turned away from these things, and I'm finally getting some freedom from those things that have held me hostage for so long. I've been able to read the testimonies and hear the stories, and I can look at those stories and I can say, yes, 100%, the sacrifice is worth it. The reward has been worth the risk. And the truth is, I have to give God all the credit, but I also wouldn't trade this opportunity for anything in the world. And one thing I want to finish with is that God is not necessarily going to ask you to take each one of these faith steps today, you know, right now, especially if you're a new believer, but he is going to ask you to take these faith steps at some point. These are things that God asks every believer to do. But what I love about the Holy Spirit is that he is kind, he is gentle in the way that he leads us. He is compassionate, he's forgiving, he is long-suffering with us, he is gracious. And he wants to lovingly lead us from where we are right now to where God wants us to be. So my encouragement to you is, if the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, or if he is encouraging you to take a faith step today, do it, do it, do it. It's worth it. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Respond to God in faith today. And I believe that you're going to see that it is worth it. So the last thing I want to say is that if you've been listening to me and the whole time you're thinking, you know what? I don't know if I know God personally. Or maybe you're saying, I'm not sure if I have received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, don't put it off today. Don't wait another second. I want you to go watch another video of mine. It's called God Thinks About You. I really hope that it blesses you.
You can connect with Troy Black on YouTube or Facebook. For more content from Troy Black, or to find out how you can support this ministry, visit troyblackvideos.com.